Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee. Hey, guys. Welcome to the program. How are you feeling today?
Well, we are feeling like we are almost getting this down, but still really nervous.
I think you're doing great.
Thanks.
How many? Is this four or five shows now you've done?
I think it's five.
I think we're at five.
Wow. Well, you're like veterans now, right? It's a piece of cake.
Sure.
Yeah, after the fifth child, it's still hard.
You have five kids?
Right.
We do.
Do you? Yeah, me too. Mine are all grown up, though. Well, almost all grown up. Got a couple left at home. But anyway, welcome. We've learned so much. I personally have learned so much about what hospice and palliative care is. It's given me a lot of, peace of mind to know that there's a service like you guys offer out there, because we always think about taking care of health at the end of life. We don't think about taking care of the other things, and that's one of those things that you guys have really, I think, brought to the top of mind awareness, the fact that it's not just about, how's your blood pressure, what's your pulse, what's your oxygen percentage. It's about more than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And hospice itself has a bad stigma attached to it.
It does, yeah.
And we're trying to clear some of that up. It shouldn't be a bad word or a scary thing to talk about. In fact, it's important that you talk about it well in advance of ever needing it. But especially that we're different because we brought an expansive palliative program, and that's important to understand as well.
Maybe before we get into it, you can talk about what that means, palliative program. We've defined it a little bit, and Richard, you've even said, well, it depends on who you talk to on what exactly that means.
That's exactly right. The word itself means everything that doesn't directly address a cure, but it's how we interpret that. And mm-hmm. so I guess I would say that it's not a line that we can cross and say, okay, so we've attained palliative as much as a direction that we can go. And then we get to look at how far in that direction we want to go. When we're looking at all of the different things that can be done for a patient, not just clinical, strict medical things, because there's plenty of palliative that fits in there, but all of the things outside of a strict medical or strict clinical process, beyond the things that you would expect from your doctor to provide for you, we really are focusing on expanding in that area of bringing a wide array of other services in addition to what you'd expect from clinical.
Much needed, crucial services, yeah.
Right. Well, hospice itself is very well defined by Medicare standards, and all hospice companies are required to provide those services. And likewise, we provide those services. The nurse that comes to your home, the CNAs that come to help you shower or bathe, the homemakers, we provide all the Medicare minimum standards, including social workers and chaplains. But we go far beyond that. Our definition of palliative care includes finding out all your specific needs. Do you need help with errands? Do you need companionship and people to visit you just to make sure that they check on you regularly to make sure you're okay? All those things that as seniors we need assistance with, as caregivers we are sometimes overwhelmed with, we come in and create a program that is dynamic and specific to your individual needs.
Is there a situation, I'm sure there is, people say, well, I don't want that. You know, I don't want a masseuse to come, or I don't want a chaplain coming to my house. I guess I kind of have to tailor it to every specific person.
Absolutely correct. Everybody's scenario is very, very different. Hmm. And that is what makes a good, strong, robust palliative program different. Any other company can come in and offer the basics and a little extra. We can have somebody come in and play music for you, or we can offer you a massage. But we actually get in and design a program specifically for you. We had a couple where the wife, and I told this story before, I'll kind of tell it a little bit briefer. If anybody wants the expanded version, they can give us a call. But we had a wife that was the primary caregiver and did all the cooking. She was really, really concerned and anxious over leaving her husband. So we actually designed a program that was tailored towards him as the caregiver, where we helped him learn to cook for himself, and he's now cooking for his wife, and they're creating wonderful memories as she faces this very difficult time in her life.
We realize that everybody's going to have a different hospice experience. Some of us have had hospice experiences, and if you've had just one, then your whole understanding of hospice is probably based upon that.
Yeah.
We specifically have had three separate personal hospice experiences, and that is really what drove us to get involved in this, because our first hospice experience, my wife tells this story better than I do, but her mother had been diagnosed with cancer, and we had the privilege of having her in our home and care for her, and we were in Las Vegas at the time. And while we didn't understand most of what hospice was, our experience was great. But our experience was great not specifically because of what the hospice company did, but because they allowed us to do what we wanted to do. You know, we had our own personal goals. We had our own things that we wanted to accomplish and what we thought was important. And they didn't interfere with that at all. They worked around what we wanted. Then we had a totally different hospice experience with her father because we didn't get a chance to be involved at any level. He had opted into hospice, and the next thing we knew, he had been medicated to unconsciousness for as long as he was alive.
Wow.
And that was only 3 days. And so for somebody who had that hospice experience, that would be a terrible thing to even imagine in the future. What we hope is we can expand people's understanding of what it could be so that they can be more actively involved from the beginning or even before, so that they can make it an experience that they would like to have. My dad's experience, again, a third totally different experience. He was only on hospice for 3 days also, 2 days. But that was because we didn't get an opportunity to participate in hospice until he was too far down that road to do anything other than provide some medications for him. If we had known about hospice or had been introduced to the idea, you know, 3-6 months ago, there could have been a lot more that could have been done to relieve my mom's stress and things like that. So what we really realize is that while every one of our hospice experiences met that minimum Medicare standard, every hospice company that we've ever dealt with did what was required within the hospice standard,
right,
our experiences were entirely different. So what makes a hospice experience different is not whether or not somebody met a standard, it's how much further beyond that standard we were able to go. And that's really our focus in this, is trying to drive that standard up, to elevate the entire community. Other hospice companies, too. We know that as we do better and as people become better informed, they're going to expect more from other hospice companies, and that's going to make everybody better, and we're looking forward to that.
I love that. You know, make the whole industry just a little bit better. That is really cool. Why did you guys pick St. George? How did you end up in St. George starting Pathway here?
So it was from our hospice experiences. Living in Las Vegas, my father-in-law was here in St. George, and he had a few medical conditions, and my wife wanted to be more involved in that. And our business that we had been involved with in Vegas allowed us to do that mostly from our home. So she told me one day that we were moving.
And, is that how it works, really?
It's a longer story, but that's almost exactly what happened. And so we came here with the intent of spending more time with her dad and having an opportunity to enjoy the kind of experience that we had with her mom. He had been diagnosed with a wound on his foot that was going to effectively, if he went through surgery, make him immobile, debilitate him, and he wouldn't be able to be at all independent. And that wasn't what he wanted. And so my wife wanted to be much more involved in his care and show her the love and compassion that she wanted to. So we had had a conversation about hospice with him, and he thought that, you know, made sense. And so we had planned on moving up here. The day we moved in was 3 days after he passed away. And he passed away on hospice in 3 days from the time that he said, I'm willing to do that.
And it was just really surprising because we had expected him to live for quite some time. The doctors had kind of said that we might even be a little premature for hospice. So to have him pass away so quickly was a surprise. We believe he was put on a regimen of prescriptions to ensure that he was, you know, never in any pain. Pain management's an important part of hospice. However, he had neuropathy, so he didn't have any pain. But we were never consulted. We were never, the plan of care was never discussed with us, so we really had no input on his care. Keep in mind those three words, plan of care, always ask for the plan of care. It's an important part of all of our medical needs, concerns. Whenever we go to the doctor, they will always have a plan of care for you, a plan to either treat your symptoms or cure your ailments. So always ask for your plan of care before you leave. And in hospice, we create a plan of care going forward for you. Our plan of care includes palliative measures.
Okay. And it includes you being involved in helping us make those decisions about
always.
What you want.
That's the most important detail. It's important for the family to be heard, for their goals to be met, for their desires to be understood and implemented and be an important part of that, whether that is a more natural approach or not. It's family's choice. It's not the hospice company's choice. We come in and help you. We educate you. We inform you. We offer you absolutely everything necessary for your experience, medical equipment and pharmaceuticals, prescriptions, everything that you could possibly need. But we also offer you the support that relieves some of the stresses and the burdens of everyday worries.
Well, that brings to mind a question that maybe you guys don't have an answer to, or maybe, let me just get your take on this. What if the plans of the family, maybe you have two daughters and they both have different plans on how they want hospice to go for their mom, or maybe the mom has a different opinion on what the children want for her? How do you handle all those differences?
Tiebreaker goes
opinions?
To the patient.
I love that. That's good. And then sometimes you'll have a patient who maybe has different ideas of how they want to go versus the doctor.
Right. And it is an absolutely dynamic situation, and mm-hmm. every family is different, right? And we may have our differences in opinions, but ultimately what we have found is at such a tender time in someone's life, the family, while they might have differences of opinion, generally come together.
Yeah.
But of course, it's our intent to listen to the patient's desires first and primarily how their care should go forward.
As well, you
and
should.
Then implement the caregivers around that. Always educating them, supporting them, and being that sounding board to help them work through the difficult information and their new life that they're facing. And sometimes it's just the high emotions. We do offer chaplains and social workers to come out to help them deal with what they're facing too.
Because this is certainly probably one of the hardest times in anybody's life is dealing with the reality that one of their loved ones is going to pass.
Right.
While we can't change that, modern medicine can't change that. What we want for people to understand is that hospice is by choice. You can choose to participate in hospice, or you could choose not to. And for the time that your loved one has on the earth, if you choose to do hospice, then we want to participate and help make this the best experience possible. Because there's a huge difference that we would have in our experiences. You know, it can either be, you know, looking back, you're either going to be looking at this experience that you've had just as an exhausting crisis with a bitter end, you know, and people have had that, or it could possibly just be an intense time of showing love and long remembering the experiences of some of those tender mercies that you receive from that.
Yeah,
and so that's choice number one. And when we're talking about choice, if somebody chooses hospice, statistically, Kaylee, what are the statistics on choosing hospice over not choosing hospice?
So I actually wrote that down. Let me find it. So this should really break down the stigma of hospice. It says, according to CMS, people who choose hospice live an average of 29 days longer, and a study released by the New England Journal of Medicine found that patients who received palliative care lived on average almost 2 months longer than those who received standard care.
So as we bring hospice and palliative care to this industry and try and change it, we are giving people a better experience. We're giving people a possibly longer time to experience that. And so those are our goals. Those are the things that drive us. Our passions is knowing that we're doing things that are going to help people short-term and long-term.
Hospice is not a prescription. It's an option. And many doctors actually wait for the patient to bring up hospice, which leads to late enrollment or never being enrolled at all. That is the sad truth. It's important for families to know that anyone can make a referral to hospice. The family, a clergy, neighbors can call our office. We're always available at 435-477-6999. We'd love to discuss your concerns and answer your questions. It's important to have information well in advance of the necessity, just so that you're aware and so that you know the questions to ask of your physician. We're happy to answer any of those questions that you have.
That late enrollment was my experience. My dad was probably eligible for hospice. Now that I know what I know, now that I'm better informed and know that hospice has more more knowledge available for us, he probably should have been in hospice 6 months prior, which would have made it a much better experience for my mom. They were living with my sister, their whole family. So
family members would have had time to come and visit and say their goodbyes and, you know, deal with issues that they may not have, you know, dealt with yet and been putting off and not realizing how quickly his time was going to come. The sad reality was he passed before anybody really had time to come in from out of town and spend time with him.
Right. So we go back to that, when's a good time to talk to your doctor? Well, immediately. For a couple of reasons. One, to get past that uncomfortable conversation so that you can exchange information. You know, you don't have to go through the introduction part. But also to find out where your doctor is on that scale of when hospice and palliative care are appropriate. Because there are physicians that, because they have an understanding of hospice, that it is just dealing with the last part of this process, they don't recommend people until the last part of the process.
Well, and I think most of us really would choose quality of life over quantity of life. If that quantity of life was just suffering,
right.
We'd probably say, okay, I'm done with, you know, all the procedures and the treatments and the attempts if they're all for naught. But that's a difficult thing for your doctor to bring up. We've talked about that on many occasions, and that's one of the things that I find very informative. People will call us and just really believe that when it's time, their doctor's going to come to them and tell them it's time. It would be in your best interest to bring up the desire for a quality of life even before you're ready to stop options, so that you know the point that you're ready to opt into hospice, and then bring it up to your doctor for the second time after you already have a clear understanding. You've already expressed your desire to have a quality of life.
I love
because
it.
That time before hospice, you know, we might believe that our doctor is going to tell us when that is, but your doctor may not have as good of understanding of you as you might think. Yes, he'll remember a number of different events for you and have conversations about things that don't have to do with medicine, but he's got 18 to 2,000 patients.
1,800.
1,800.
Statistic we looked up yesterday. A primary care physician can have on average 1,800 to 2,000 patients. While they might know you on a personal level and know your kids and know that you bought a house last year, they might forget details about your care. So only you can be your best medical advocate and bring up the questions that you have. And that's why bringing up hospice to them and your desire for quality of care and knowing when your treatment options are no longer curative, but they are just offering you treatment options. Know when that is. Ask what your plan of care is. Ask if these treatments being offered are curative or just hopeful. And make a decision that's for you, that's personal, and between you and your family.
Because we have to adapt our understanding of medicine based upon age. You know, what works for a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old and our expected outcome for from that for a 20-year-old or 30-year-old shouldn't be the exact same thing that we have for a 70-year-old person or an 80-year-old person, because our bodies don't adapt. And so as we get older, I think all of us who have gotten older have come to the comfortable realization that things aren't necessarily going to get better from here. At some point, our body is going to continue to decline, and we are looking at trying to make sure that during all that time, we are providing the best possible experience.
Let me throw some common myths out there, and you guys can address these. Number one, I go on hospice, I'm going to have to give up my doctor.
Absolutely not. You can keep your primary care physician. We encourage you to. They are familiar with you, and you have a level of respect and history with them. So you can absolutely keep your primary physician. You can also opt into hospice and then change your mind and get off without ever losing any benefits. You can revoke hospice without losing benefits in the future, and you can transfer from one hospice company to the another hospice company. Hospice is all about choice. It's your choice.
You took away two of my myths that I was going to talk about. One of them was, they'll tell me what hospice company I have to use.
Nope.
Well, not that somebody won't tell you to choose a particular hospice company, but that's not your obligation. Your personal obligation to yourself should be well-informed and make a decision that's best for you, not necessarily best for the person who may be referring you for some monetary reason, may have no better understanding than you do of what hospice is.
Well, we're new. They may not know us yet, but I hope everyone realizes by now that not all hospice companies are alike, and I'm confident in saying that we are the only one that has in Southern Utah, that has the expansive palliative care program that we have, and I'm proud to say we have some of the best nurses. I love our nurses. They have kind hearts and love what they do.
Because they didn't come to work for us just because of paycheck. They came to work. They had a choice. Hospice is about choice. All of the staff that we have chose to work with us because of what we're trying to do in the community and change what hospice can
And be. We really feel blessed and appreciative of that because they are putting a lot of faith in us as a new company.
Yeah.
And so we hope that the community will recognize that and they'll reach out to us as well.
Okay, we're short on time. One more myth. I can't afford hospice. It's too expensive for me.
Almost all of hospice is 100% coverage. I say almost all. Medicare covers virtually everything you need. It's less expensive than home care.
So no copays, prescriptions, those types of things. We also cover durable medical equipment, which includes hospice-related hard goods that you might need in your home.
Right, adjustable beds and
wheelchairs
and walkers and shower chairs and all that. Everything.
And oxygen, if that's necessary. So really, hospice should be no financial burden for anybody.
Right.
Well, that's great. Appreciate you clearing that up. And you guys are always doing. You talk about how nervous you are. You always do a great show. Great to hear from you today. Come out one more time. We're down to just a final few seconds. How to get a hold of you guys at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care.
Well, our website is pathwayhospicecare.com, but if you want to talk to us and get real information, 435-477-6999.
But don't call right this second, because you guys got to get back to the office, right?
Right. Give us 10 minutes.
Okay.
Look forward to hearing from you.
Awesome. Thanks for doing the show today, you guys. Fantastic job.
Thank you.